This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Well, good morning. Today is crossover day, so it's really busy here in the Capitol. The House and Senate are hard at work, and I wanted to start off with an update on some legislation that passed this week that I signed into law. I signed a bill that would streamline healthcare professionals and their ability to work in the state of South Dakota, and this is going to be critically important for us to make sure that we have the workforce that we need to take care of people and to make sure that we're doing that efficiently. Also, with the new families that are moving to South Dakota, when they get here, they can get right to work and address people's health. Yesterday, I signed into law the Born Alive bill. This is an important piece of legislation, and medical professionals under this bill would offer any baby born alive the same medical care that they would offer to any other child, regardless of the circumstances that they face at birth. The pro-life cause continues after a child is born, and this bill would guarantee the right to life for any child. I was extremely pleased to sign that bill into law and look forward to more pro-life legislation reaching my desk. Now, earlier this morning up in appropriations, my request for $75 million for broadband was heard. I'm looking forward to that being supported by the legislature. We also are using $25 million of CARES Act funding to add into the broadband infrastructure. Those applications are out there now, and I'm hopeful that people will submit their applications for that by Friday, because that's when that deadline is. And remember that this has to partner with federal funds and private companies and providers out there to make sure that we're building out infrastructure this year. Those dollars have to 100% be spent this year to make sure that we have that in place and comply with Treasury guidance. With that, I will open it up to questions that you may have for me today.
Governor Noem, this is Chris Von Drastic from Forum News Service. The bill, the resolution sponsored for impeachment, Will Mortensen, Representative Will Mortensen, said this is not political, it's not like D.C., he said. I guess at the same time, the AG hasn't been convicted of anything yet. So do you think this is feeling like a political process as impeachment unfolds, or do you think that the AG should just step down and avoid this whole thing?
This is a different process than the criminal investigation. Charges have been filed. This would impeachment that the legislature is undertaking in the House is an administrative process. And I spent about 10 hours on Monday reviewing the entire case and the videos and what was included during the investigation before the charges were filed. And that's why on Tuesday you saw me say that I believed the Attorney General should resign. It was not long after that that the House and Representative Mortensen filed those impeachment papers, and they'll continue to work through that process.
Governor Noem, Austin Goss, Dakota News Now. The Attorney General has said as recently as this week that he believes his job hasn't been impeded upon by this entire thing and this entire investigation and going through this impeachment. Do you believe that to be true, in your opinion?
So I'm going to bring up Secretary Price to address that, because I think as a law enforcement officer, he can give you some clear guidance on that process.
Good morning, Craig Price. I'm the Cabinet Secretary for the Department of Public Safety. And in regards to the question about the Attorney General's job duties, I don't know all the job duties of our Attorney General, but I do reflect back on an article that was written by the Rapid City Journal in early February that reflected upon an agreement back in November where the police chiefs and sheriffs are no longer utilizing the services of the Attorney General to review their use of force cases. I can speak a little bit to my law enforcement background and having been in this career field for over 20 years. As law enforcement officers, maintaining public trust is critical. We have numerous examples across our country where that trust has been lost, and we've all seen that happen in other states. Law enforcement officers are held to a higher standard. We know that, and we accept that. We carry a badge that carries significant responsibilities. It requires us to have honor, integrity, character, and it requires us to tell the truth every single time. We don't expect ourselves to be perfect, but we do expect ourselves to be truthful. Most of us have supervisors that handle situations like this. The chief law enforcement officer of our state answers to our citizens who are represented through their elected legislators. So if I'm asked, or when I'm asked about whether or not I support this administrative process, I do. They're the ones that need to look in to see if there's an employment matter that needs to be addressed.
Secretary Price, going back to those videos that were released this week, you know, that was rather unprecedented for an investigation. Can you speak to the decision-making process that went into releasing those and just maybe the discussions that were had with the prosecutors on the investigation, if those were had?
I could talk about the release. The decision to release the videos is because the Attorney General is the state's highest-ranking law enforcement official, and he's been involved in a pedestrian vehicle fatality crash. DPS is the custodian of the records, and we were directed by Governor Noem to release the information as part of her commitment to be transparent on this case. South Dakota statute allows for that.
Are you going to be releasing any more information?
Yes, ma'am.
We will be releasing more information, more than likely today or tomorrow. And again, the information that we released, starting with clear back with the 911 calls, the toxicology reports, things that we've already released months ago, and then including these interviews with the Attorney General himself. These interviews, we specifically asked for the family's consent to do that. So we are going to continue to ask the family what to release, what they're okay with throughout this process.
Did you watch the videos before? Was Tuesday the first time that you saw them, or had you seen them before, and why did you choose to release them now as opposed to earlier?
No, I watched and spent about 10 hours on Monday going through the entire case, watching all of the videos, the interviews, looking at the case files, the accident reports, and information that's included in the investigation. I had not seen anything prior to that, but that is one of the reasons that we moved forward on Tuesday and why I put forward my personal opinion that he should resign. Austin?
Governor Noem, Speaker Spencer Gosch put out a plan for impeachment yesterday that includes, you know, putting together a special committee to review it and giving them subpoena powers and basically possibly keeping them here for much longer than the regularly scheduled legislative session. I wanted to ask you just generally your thoughts on that plan and if you've had some time to review it, just what you think of it in general.
Well, that's a legislative process. It's not one that's dictated by me, or neither do I weigh in on it. I do know that it's unprecedented action in the state of South Dakota. So we will certainly be watching it closely and helpful where necessary. Joe?
Joe Sneevy, Argus Leader. I won't ask about double masks.
Oh, come on, Joe. That was fun.
Well, there was a third-party crash investigator brought in on this. Will we see that? And does the results of that...
Are you talking about the North Dakota BCI report?
I'm talking about the Wyoming.
Oh, I'll ask Secretary Price about that.
Will we see that, and does it conflict at all with the accident reconstruction we've seen publicly so far from Highway Patrol?
Thank you, Joe. The consultant that we hired in Wyoming is one of the best in the country, and we worked hand-in-hand with him while we were doing the crash reconstruction. The troopers that we had assigned to the crash reconstruction have, for the most part, dedicated their careers to investigating crashes. So we had a very solid team on top of that, and I'll refer back to the governor's statement about future releases of reports. We're working through. Thank you.
Governor?
Yep.
Sorry. Stephen from,
yep.
from AP.
Go ahead, Stephen.
On Tuesday, you publicly called on the Attorney General to resign. Had you communicated with him before that and asked for his resignation at any point before that?
No, I have not spoken to the Attorney General or communicated with him since the accident.
For Secretary Price, if
sure.
I could. Mr. Secretary, the Attorney General has said that this matter is not complicating his ability or impeding his ability to conduct his duties, but it's a two-way street. Is this complicating your abilities in reference to him? And have you heard from any other law enforcement officers, specifically those six who have said they don't want to refer use of force matters? It's not just his ability, but your ability to work with them. Is that a fair characterization, and what do you think?
Yeah, if I understand your question correctly, certainly I think the ability that I referenced earlier in the use of force reviews impacts the job. We're independent from the Attorney General's office at Public Safety, and the job that our Highway Patrol does is not dependent on anything that the Attorney General directs or is involved in what we do. So I would say that it has not impacted our ability to do our job.
Governor.
Is there anyone on the phone that has a question? Okay, let's go to Stephen in the room.
During the prosecutor's announcement last week, they talked about South Dakota law and the requirements for reckless driving. I'm wondering, when you heard that announcement, kind of what was your thought, and were you concerned that perhaps the severity of the penalty and the charges that they're pursuing don't meet the size of the situation and the fact that a man was killed?
I won't speculate on that at this time.
Governor Noem, this weekend you're going to CPAC. Can you give us a preview of what the speech will be about?
Well, I'll tell a little bit of South Dakota's story. That's what's important to me, is that people understand how special the state is and the people that live here. And then also about what this legislature's doing right now is making responsible decisions, not just for the people here and protecting their health, but also growing the economy and protecting it for future generations. America's a special place. And so I'll reflect back on our history and talk about what we can do to preserve this country and the example that it is for the rest of the world far into the future.
Governor Noem?
Yes.
South Dakota just recently dropped the Department of Health, the vaccination age from 70 to 65 mm-hmm. in rather quick fashion. Can you speak to why we have continued to have success with vaccinations and the process writ large recently?
Yeah, I think we've been in the top three states now for quite some time on distribution of the vaccine to individuals within our state. And I think that's a testimony to the great partnerships that we have. Our healthcare providers, our Department of Health, the clinics throughout the region, the pharmacies that are offering the vaccine, and even the delivery in IHS facilities has been outstanding. So we are leading the nation and making sure that we're getting people the shots that they need to protect their health. And I expect that to continue. We did not create new layers of bureaucracy like many other states did. Many other states thought the state had to control the distribution, and that slowed them down. Here in South Dakota, we used the assets and the people and the infrastructure we already had to make sure that it was available to people.
Governor Patrick Callahan, yeah. South Dakota Broadcasters. Fireworks, Mount Rushmore, mm-hmm. you contacted congressional delegation. They have sent it. I understand the topic came up during a Senate confirmation hearing with the Interior Secretary. I'm just wondering if you have anything to update us on.
I don't. You know, last year on July 3rd, we signed agreements for the 2021 year to hold fireworks at Mount Rushmore. So all we really need is for this Secretary of Interior, if she is confirmed, to honor those agreements because all of the parameters, the permitting processes have been laid out already in the document signed. With the change in administration, we're just hopeful that they'll continue through with that and not pull the rug out from underneath us, much like they did with the Keystone Pipeline.
Governor, will we see President Biden on a Rushmore bust?
On a Rushmore bust? I don't know. We'll see if he comes. If he comes, we can maybe make that happen if he so desires. Okay. Thank you, everybody.